Welcome to Family Guidons, the podcast created by military spouses for military families.
We're the ones holding down the home front during deployments, state activations, and everything in between.
Here we have an honest conversation about the realities of military life, the highs, the hard moments, and the strength it takes to keep moving forward.
Whether you're new to the military community or a seasoned spouse who's seen it all,
Family Guidons is your place for connection, support, and real conversations.
Because no one understands life like the ones who've been living it beside them.
This is Family Guidons. Fall in. Welcome back to Family Guidons. Our episode today is titled Stormproof Spouses, where we're going to talk about all of the prep you need to be ready mentally and physically for storm season, which is coming up, crazy enough. So I'm Michelle Matheny. I am a military spouse of 14 years to my husband, Bill. We have three young girls. I am also a small business owner and a huge supporter of our military in general.
I'm Kathy Bridgers, a military spouse of almost 30 years. I have two adult children, one of which my son is in the South Carolina National Guard for 9 years now and is deployed in the Middle East in support of Epic Fury.
And I'm Charlotte Stillwell. I am a military spouse of 31 years to Rob. I am the mom of three. I'm also a military mom of a son who is currently serving on active duty. He's new. He's been in 2 years. And I'm also a Gold Star child. Today we're going to talk about storm prep, but with a twist. Doing it when your partner is deployed, out helping others during the storm to prepare and to recover, or just simply just not home. Storms do not care about duty schedules. They come whether we're ready for them or not.
Yep, and if you're the one left holding down the home front by yourself, everything falls on you. No pressure.
Right.
You, your kids, maybe a dog or a pet, and a storm with an attitude. So my suggestion is prep ahead.
Yes.
Absolutely. And now's the time.
So we can just say it out loud. It's tough.
Yep.
Trying to handle a storm by yourself, especially when you have kids at home with you. And it's heavier when you're alone. Not just doing the supplies. You're the planner. You have to set everything up. And you also have to be kind of emotionally calm and stable so that your kids aren't feeding off that panic that you have going on inside.
Right, right.
Right, because, you know, sometimes, especially with the National Guard and their state mission, your spouse, if they're a part of that, they get deployed and they're not there to help you go through those steps.
Yes, I'm sure we all have personal scenarios or memories of times when something like this popped up, and I can think of so many just off the top of my head. But I think, you know, one of the most recent was Hurricane Helene here, where, you know, when that hit, or in preparation, you know, for it, we tried to move out of the storm's path, knowing that we thought it was going to be bad here and less bad as it, you know, moved inland. So we actually went up to the upstate to stay at a friend's house, and we knew Bill was going to be busy working. And, you know, lo and behold, it comes through, and, you know, 4 a.m., power goes out. The kids are all awake and screaming because, you know, the sound machines have gone off, so, and they can hear it all outside, and they're, you know, trying to figure out what's happening. And so not only were we, you know, without power for multiple days, but we knew we were without power at home as well. So I am entertaining kids in a place that is not our home. So we don't have all of the things that we normally have. And so that was kind of a wake up to me of just being a little bit more prepared. Like you said, you know, they don't care what your plan is or what you think your plan is, but kind of having that backup plan as well. Like in hindsight, I wish I would have taken more to be prepared if, I mean, you know, thankfully we did have a generator where we were, we had taken some of the basics, but I just wish we had done a little bit more for that one.
Yeah. Hindsight's 20/20. Yeah. Always better to try to get as much as you can ahead of time.
Yeah.
We had a listener send in a storm story. We went through, this is from Diane, and she was at Tyndall. We went through a Hurricane Michael, Category 5 at Tyndall. sort of like a PCS. Spouses know where your important papers are kept and your passwords on your accounts. And if you need to be evacuated, bring it all with you. Mm-hmm. Many military members were left on base to work through the storm while their families were evacuated. Follow the command leads for your own safety. Keep in mind that service members and spouses all have different tolerance and stress levels. Uncertainty causes so much stress. You're glued to the TV, but it's not always helpful, especially when you have children. The media plays the same stories over and over, and it's always the worst stories that they're playing, so limit TV. If possible, keep a spouse buddy that you check in with. Even though we were all evacuated to different places, we tried to find common places to meet and make arranged play dates. Honestly, I could go on forever about that storm. It upended the lives of many military members, but we all learned to lean on each other, helping each other when and where we were able. Thank you, Diane. And really does help to prepare ahead and to make those contacts ahead of time so you're not scrambling at the last minute.
Absolutely.
Well, and I think, so prepare ahead, but also do it with the knowledge that you're not going to be 100% prepared for the situation. I don't think there's a way to be 100% prepared, just as you said. You go to the upstate, and that's actually where the storm was headed.
It was worse there.
You just can't know. But doing something is better than nothing, and it helps to bring down the level of anxiety that you are feeling. There's a storm kit. We all hopefully have something.
Yes.
So let's just talk about some of the things that are in storm kits, and I'm going to just name a few. The suggestion is, and some of this information we did get from the South Carolina Emergency Management website, a gallon of water per person per day for several days for drinking and for sanitation. I would want to speak about that just a little bit. It's also good to have your bathtub filled with water. Say it's not a hurricane or a tornado. It's a freezing weather type event and you have a broken pipe. If you have water in the bathtub, you can use that to flush the toilets with. Pour it in the back, and that can be a way to keep using your toilets. Non-perishable food for several days, but think easy meals, not something that has to be prepared and takes a lot of cooking. You know, your beans, do your bean salads, do, you know, those types of things.
You know, and some of the, like, the MRE type of stuff, like, it's not bad to have on hand in case of an emergency. And honestly, my kids are always excited when they see, like, one of those come out to investigate it.
That's
and
camping.
What it is.
That is, yeah, true. Yeah,
right. So they may not be quite as excited once they start eating it, but, you know, it's food. It's nourishment.
Yeah. Along that line with the canned food, a manual can opener is helpful. Cell phone with chargers and backup batteries, plastic sheeting, scissors, duct tape, flashlights with extra batteries, first aid kit, and battery-operated or hand-cranked radio. While we're talking about battery-operated, during Helene, I did a run-through Target at the last minute and picked up some of the rechargeable little lamps that you see now. And I just, before this last ice storm, I had everything charged. So those lamps come in handy, and they don't have to be expensive. They can be just inexpensive.
Yeah.
Long extension cords and a list of contacts with numbers in case your phone dies. Y'all, we are so technology driven that I don't know about you, but I have people that I talk to almost daily, but I don't have their phone numbers. And I'm ashamed to admit that I have to really think about my own children's phone numbers because they're plugged into my phone. So it's really helpful to have that listed out in the event you don't get to use, you know, you've got to rely on somebody else's phone. That'd be helpful.
Yeah. Looking at some of the things on this list, you know, they kind of all, a lot of these, to me, you know, they lend to the generator thing. Like, a generator is a great thing to have. Like, I know a lot of people have started to do the whole home generator thing, which is amazing. But Even just a small one that can run one appliance at a time, and you can kind of move that around. Like we have one, we actually have two, but when we only had one, we would move it from like, I would have the refrigerator on it during the day. Mm-hmm. And then like, I would run it for a while at night to like make sure the freezer stayed cold and kind of move it, you know, back and forth between those two things. But the biggest thing about those is they have to be outside, right? Mm-hmm. So, that plastic sheeting or like some kind of heavy duty tarp comes in handy to cover that generator. You can kind of, you know, tent the generator to like make sure the exhaust can still get out, but stake it down and keep it covered, you know, and then you need those long extension cords to be able to mm-hmm. run the power from there to wherever you're trying to get it to in your house, because the last thing you want is those fumes from the generator to be anywhere near the inside of your home. So yeah, important so to remember.
We ended up using our little outdoor table and just sliding it over the generator, so it kept the weather from getting to the yeah. generator, but it could still vent, and we didn't have to mess with trying to TP mm-hmm. tarps or anything. Yeah. And I
That's
thought that
genius.
Was that was my husband came up with it. I'm going to give him that one. That was
cool.
Really good.
You don't want to take credit for that?
No.
I came up with a solution to warm coffee this last time. I had purchased back in the fall, right before Thanksgiving, a gravy boat that you can put one of those little candles under to keep our Thanksgiving gravy warm in.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, how am I going to have coffee in the morning? I've got to have caffeine should the power go out. And I thought, So I brewed my coffee the night before, put it in a thermos, and it was still warm the next morning. And I didn't need it, but had I needed it, I could have put that coffee in that gravy boat and put that candle on, and it warms up. I mean, it keeps it, it'll make it hot.
That's a great idea.
So I love that. I kind of wanted to do it just to say I did, but I know it's there.
Right. You got to get creative.
That's right.
Yeah. So I think those are, you know, kind of the necessities, the things that you absolutely should have, but I also think there is a lot to be said for having the things that will make life easier mm-hmm. during that process. So if you are someone who still has kids in the house or pets, you know, preparing for ways to keep them entertained is almost as important mm-hmm. as being able to, like, you know, keep some lights on or a refrigerator cold.
Yeah, because, for your sanity.
Right. Everybody knows that if kids are bored, they can make your life miserable. So I always try, like, ahead of an impending storm to stock up on some favorite snacks for everybody, like snacks that they wouldn't get in another time, like almost like the same kind of snacks we get for the beach vacation in the summer, like I will get if I know there's a storm coming. So, you know, it's not stuff they eat every day, but it makes it more fun and mm-hmm. it gives them something to look forward to. We also, like, I always try to keep, and this isn't, you know, maybe for like more longer term storms, but if we're packing to go somewhere or even like quick response stuff like a tornado, you know, warning or something, you know, I will go ahead, like in the case of a tornado, I'll go ahead and like clear out like our big walk-in closet that we would use and go ahead and put like some blankets in mm-hmm. there or some pillows from their rooms or a couple of their favorite stuffed animals or, you know, books, things that I know they'll like or a game that we could play that doesn't take much, you know, space to have something to entertain them while they're, you know, sitting in a closet for 45 minutes or something like that. But even on the storm front, you know, finding those toys or activities that don't require power because, mm-hmm. you know, you may be able to recharge an iPad, but you may not. So mm-hmm. do you have some puzzles? Do you have a board game? Do you have some markers and paper or other crafts that you can use? You know, and same thing for the pets if they tend to be nervous. I know a lot of dogs especially, but are storm nervous. So, yes. Like, if they've got one of those little like thunder, you know, jackets, make sure you know where that is or some treats for them or their favorite toys to keep everybody kind of happy and comfortable while they're riding it out. That has been a huge help to me.
Talking about the pets reminded me to mention a list of your medications. Mm. If you have time to prepare, make sure you have enough medication on hand should power go out and grocery stores are closed or roads are impassable.
Yeah, that's a great point.
That reminded me of that.
And cash, just in case.
Yes.
Because if electricity goes down, credit cards aren't going to be working. You might need cash.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's interesting, you know, as we've talked about it and we had that list, it reminds me, just talking about it, gas.
Yeah.
get go ahead and have your gas, your car gassed up, weather, even in a cold weather event, not just in the event that power goes out, but like in a cold weather event, having a full tank of gas, it's my understanding, I think this is why we do it, it prevents excess condensation from building up and then freezing in the gas tank and then causing problems down the road for the engine.
And the gas for the generators, fill those tanks up because if it's a long power outage, you're going to need a lot of gas.
And to organize all of these things, we're going to make reference later to some resources for you, but we're just kind of talking, but there is more of an organized list that we've posted later.
Yeah. And I think, you know, this is the basics, but I'm sure other people out there have good tips and tricks. So if you do, feel free to pass those along to us. But I think one other thing to be really aware of, you talked about medications, but if you're military, you may have a deployment binder or like a PCS binder. Yes. Even if you're not active duty where you move a lot, this is a great idea and very important for storm prep and having to like maybe exit or evacuate quickly. So that deployment binder or emergency folder. So if you have one, you should be updating that, looking at it on like a yearly basis. That's kind of become our tradition, like this and our storm kit, I look at every January. So after the holiday craziness is over and before, you know, and down here, if we're going to get winter weather, it tends to happen like later in January or February. So I will always kind of look at those things and make sure I'm prepared for whatever comes. But that binder should have all of your important papers, like to carry on with life and finances and all of that should you have to leave quickly. So that's like power of attorney, your will or trust, emergency contacts for different things, counts and passwords that you'll need to access, bills and payment schedule if they maybe come from different places and they're all not, you know, neatly wrapped up in one app or something like that. And then your important documents that you need to like retain originals of, like birth certificates, social security cards, marriage licenses, passports, all of those things. Like all of that stays in one binder for us and it's locked in a safe that's fireproof, waterproof. So, but I know exactly, you know, where I can get to it. And I know that everything I need is in that binder if I would have to get out quickly. Like I'd be good to go if I grabbed that.
Really smart. And you never know what damage is done to the house. Not everybody has a safe like that. If you leave your house, that paperwork can get ruined and it's hard to replace.
Yeah. Huge pain in the butt, right? Just sitting through all the bureaucracy and lines of
no thanks.
Those official documents.
Yeah, we call that the bug out bag.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go.
That's perfect. So beyond that, you know, prep is kind of the physical prep of what you do when that storm is impending. And when you don't have that second set of hands, it can feel really challenging. So I think, you know, this is where I would suggest that you focus on, you know, it doesn't have to be perfect and you can't do it all. You definitely can't do it all at one time. So you just kind of work yourself through a list. So like I already mentioned, you know, making sure you've got kind of the basics on a yearly basis, that things aren't expired, that you don't need to, you know, get rid of stuff and restock with something else. But, you know, that's kind of an important first step.
And don't be afraid to use your community.
Yeah.
So I was gonna
your
say,
neighbors. I mean, you are without your spouse, but you're not without help.
Right.
And people like to help. Don't steal the opportunity from them to pitch in and help you out because it really does make them feel good as well. So use your resources.
Yeah. Hopefully you have one, you know, neighbor or somebody close by that you know you could call if you need it. I have, you know, I have at least two that I know are always willing to come over and help me, you know, move something heavy that I can't move by myself or, you know, help with something that I'm just not able to like physically do on my own.
Know your safe spot. You were talking about yours is the closet. They always say,
that's a good point.
Go to a room in the center of your house that doesn't have an outside wall. You know, try to find that spot, get it set up ahead of time. Everybody in the family should know the spot in case you don't have any warning that tornado's coming or whatever's hitting, to go and meet you there. Have a plan ahead of time.
And I think having that plan also, like speaking to kind of the emotional side of it, helps you to feel calmer in those moments. If you have done all of this stuff ahead of time, then it shouldn't be quite as panicked feeling, hopefully, when it comes. Like, there's still an uneasiness. There's still the what if of, are things going to, you know, what's really going to happen? Is it going to, you know, happen like they're predicting, or is it going to be more or less? But if you have done some of this prep ahead of time, I think it just helps you to feel more calm, which helps the people around you, kids, whoever else you might have, you know, to feel calm. And I think I have always tried to do, when the kids were young, I always tried to do a lot of this outside of their, you know, eyes. Yeah. Like, I didn't want to do all this and freak them out that we were, you know, that I was worried about something. But then also, you know, as my oldest gets older, she can actually be a help and she can understand, you know, why we're doing these things. And I think educating them on the importance of that is also valuable, right, to their life experiences and just, you know.
Well, and that's part of teaching them resilience.
Yeah, exactly.
And you can try to make it fun. It's an adventure. Get your favorite toy. Get them some of the headlamps if they want to read or play with toys in there. You know, just stuff that they don't always get to do. Try to make it a little bit of fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And at the end of the day, I think, you know, in terms of the prep part, I always think about, like, I want to be safe, right? Like, I want to do everything I can to prep to be safe and prepared. But beyond that, like, worrying about, you know, getting things out of the yard or protecting a car or something like that, like, that's all stuff. It's that can be replaced. Like, that's not, you know, don't make that your priority. Make the priority the things that are going to keep you, you know, dry and fed and comfortable and safe and protected. And don't worry about the rest of the stuff. You can't do it all. So pick the things that are most important and focus on that.
I agree. How do you stay in touch with your service member if they're away?
That's a good question. I mean, I think having a plan ahead of time before they deploy when he's home, talk about what's a good idea to do in different circumstances. And and then when they're getting ready to leave, ask what's the best way to communicate with them. And if you can't, don't panic. Have, like they Diane said earlier, have like a pseudo spouse nearby, a friend or somebody that you can reach out to and bounce those ideas off of if you're in a situation when you can't get in touch with your your spouse or they're gone.
That takes some of the pressure off of them too. I know for Helene, we were not, well, Rob is kind of new to this position and he is in charge of the state emergency management. And so we were in an apartment while a house was being worked on and going back and forth between Greenville and Columbia. So when Helene hit, he was on the road like at 4 a.m. trying to get to Columbia. And he really shouldn't have been. I mean, he should have stayed and in Columbia and not come home. But he was coming home to take care of me in a new situation because there had been a big problem in the apartment. And it was a huge mess. But he ended up riding out the storm and maybe a tornado that had gone through in a rest area.
Wow.
And he was there with a bunch of people just standing in the rest area. And he was like, "At probably the worst decision I have ever made." You know, and that, you know, afterwards I felt horrible about that. I was like, you know, I could have handled this. And Rob's brother did come and help. And my nephews came and helped, you know, transfer us from one apartment to the next because of the problem. But I want to be prepared so that he doesn't have to worry about me.
And put himself in a potentially dangerous situation.
Right. And, and I think that's what a lot of how a lot of spouses appreciate the storm prep and taking care of the home front, letting our service members be out in the community to do what they need to do and what they're called to do and actually, quite frankly, what they want to do.
Yeah.
That's important.
Well, and I, you know, the conversation part of the prep is where I think you can maybe head off some of those issues. Like if you, and you were in an unusual situation, like not being in your, you know, kind of permanent home, but, you know, in your home, like having those conversations beforehand about if this happens, what should I do? Like knowing how to shut off your water. So if a pipe bursts or knowing where those like major control, you know, things
fuse box.
Or how, they would handle a situation, you know, if it happened, kind of playing out those scenarios, those what ifs, so that they can feel a little more comfortable that you are prepared mm-hmm. to make those decisions if you have to. And then also, you know, you kind of mentioned this with like the spouse network, but like maybe there is another trusted person, like one of my husband's very good friends who is former military, and I trust very much to be doing the correct things in preparation for some kind of emergency. Like he knows that he is, that I have full expectation that if there's something I should be doing that I might not think of, that he will let me know that. Like I reach out to him ahead of different things, be like, hey, so I'm seeing this and I'm a little concerned. And like, is there anything I should be doing beyond like what I probably already have ready? You know, and he'll be like, no, I think you're good. Or I'd get, you know, a little extra gas, or this is what I did. Mm-hmm. So that he can kind of be another resource for me when I know that I can't reach Bill because he's on active duty, or, you know, he's activated for state stuff, or mm-hmm. he's deployed overseas.
It gives you more confidence, and it relieves your spouse because they know you have backup.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's invaluable.
Yeah. And then I think, you know, you just have to be prepared to kind of ride it out alone, and that they won't be able to check in mm-hmm. on you at every turn maybe. And that's where those other, you know, friends and sounding boards come in handy. So a lot of it is about, you know, the mindset, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. It is about the mindset. And it's one of those things where you just have to go into it knowing you're not going to be 100% prepared. Mm-hmm. It's easy to be complacent or to grow complacent about something that may or may not happen. Just kind of let some things fall to the back. And when it arises, you just don't want to be caught, though, completely unaware. Mm-hmm. But with the right mindset and that can-do attitude that a lot of military spouses have, that'll set you up. Set you up for success.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you know, holding all this down during a storm is not a small thing, but, mm-hmm. and it's, I think it's normal to be nervous. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, like you said, it's probably better to over prepare than under prepare. We definitely fall into that category probably because of Bill's background, that I am doing way more than most of my friends and neighbors for any, a potential disaster. But then it gives you the confidence, mm-hmm. And the courage to kind of ride it out when it happens.
You know, we in the military, we're used to planning and contingency plans.
Right.
So being flexible.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and you talked about courage, and somebody had said, and I don't remember where it was, but I've heard this before, but courage isn't the absence of that feeling. It's functioning anyway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. I always tell my kids, or like, you know, the bravery side too. It's like, you can't be, this is Bill's favorite thing to say to them, because you can't be, because they're like, I'm scared. I'm scared of this storm. I'm scared to do this thing. And you're like, well, that's your chance to be brave, right? You can't be brave unless you're a little bit scared, unless you've got something to be a little bit scared of. So that's what we do, right? You prepare yourself and you just do it anyway. Be brave anyway.
And learn something new. Yeah. Achieve something new. Yeah. So key takeaways from today. To everyone holding down the home front, you're doing more than you think. The storm passes, but you still have the preparedness. You've got the experience, and you still have some things that you can carry over to the next potential storm. Don't put too much pressure on yourself. It doesn't have to be pretty, and it doesn't have to be perfect. Mm-hmm. But if you plan ahead, then your house can be more of a safe harbor for you during a storm.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'd like to take the opportunity to encourage everyone to take a look at the links listed at the end of the podcast. A lot of states have an emergency management website. Mm-hmm. South Carolina has one. That would be the place that I would start. If you've done nothing in the past, I would go there first.
Yeah, absolutely. And so hopefully you've gotten some useful information out of today's podcast and enjoyed our discussion. If you have, we'd love to have you follow us on any of the platforms that you listen to podcasts. And as always, pass it on to another family that you think could benefit from this information. And so our next episode is titled Her Service, Her Story. And we're going to discuss the unique stories of women in the military with a special guest host with us that day. So as always, thank you for listening to Family Guide-Ons from the Bluff Road Readiness Center in Columbia, South Carolina, to wherever you may be. Until next time.